Good morning, and welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. AGLCA and our Admiral sponsors, Barber Marina, Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point Yachting Center, Dozier's Waterway Guides and Magazines, Richardson's Map Tech, Passage Maker Troller Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications, invite you to join us as we explore the Great Loop every Friday morning with a show chock full of information that's useful to you whether you are dreaming of, in the midst of, or planning a trip around the Great Loop. And don't forget to visit our store at www.greatloop.org/store. Thanks and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone. As Beth said, this is America's Great Loop Cruisers weekly blog radio show. With us today and back from some medical issues, we welcome Steve Cromer. It's good to have you back, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for welcoming.
For those non-members out there listening to the show, the Great Loop is the continuous waterway that includes the eastern portion of North America, which of course encompasses the Atlantic and Gulf intercoastal waterways, the Great Lakes, the heritage Canadian canals, and the inland rivers of America's heartland. America's Great Loop Cruisers Association, or AGLCA, as we like to call ourselves, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and curiosity about America's Great Loop. Our primary purpose is to share information and enhance the overall experience for those of you that are dreaming of, doing, or have completed the loop. Our website is www.greatloop.org. We'd love for you to become a member, visit the association's webpage, and be aware there's loads of free information that you can read to help you decide whether the Great Loop is a trip for you. We're very happy to introduce Looper Catherine Barrick, who is currently cruising with member Kermit Rugmayer on the East Coast. Catherine is a lady dear to my heart as she runs her business, Interview Doc, from the boat. The subject of today's blog radio segment will be connectivity while cruising, and Catherine will tell us how she stays connected to her clients, which includes video conferencing while aboard. Catherine, welcome, and thank you so much for helping us out this morning.
Well, thank you. I'm very glad to be here.
Catherine's been cruising for about 9 months now, and they'll be closing their loop. When do you plan to finish, Catherine? Have you decided?
We're heading to Cleveland. Sandusky is our home base. We're heading to Sandusky by the middle of September. So, yes, we'll close our loop in the middle of September.
So you're almost done. That'll be a sad day. Well, it's a wonderful day when you cross your loop, but it's a little bit sad, too, because you know your journey's ended. Many of our members go on to do it 2 and 3 times, so that's always an option.
Yes, that's always an option. And we've met such wonderful people that we've been traveling with. The sad part will be to say goodbye to them. And so we want to come back and meet them again in the waterways next
Fantastic.
Year.
Fantastic. Catherine, why don't we start with the equipment that you use? I know equipment is critical. Not many of our members are working on the loop, so it's not as critical as your situation, but just about everybody in this day and age needs to stay connected. How important is the quality of the equipment?
The quality of the equipment is absolutely critical. I have a big, heavy-duty computer that I absolutely rely on. I back it up in a number of ways regularly, both on the cloud and through an external hard drive so I don't lose anything. We use power strips to protect all of the equipment that gets plugged in so that with the strange power situations in every marina, you can be protected. I use a Motorola Droid 4 with Verizon service. It's a smartphone. It's very smart. It can do lots of things. I can type on it even. So it's pretty much a substitute for my computer. I use a Verizon 4G hotspot, and that gets me a lot of service in most places. I use about 11 gigabytes a month, which is really a lot. That's a lot. And I run past my service plan on my cell phone usually by halfway through the month. I also have a high-quality headset that I use for video and audio conferencing over the Internet, voice-over Internet services, and I have a high-quality Bluetooth for working on my telephone so that I don't have to keep my telephone connected to my ear. So the equipment is critical.
What operating system does the Dell run?
I'm running a Windows operating system. I think I have 2010. I have 2010, don't I? Yes, I have 2010 operating system. I bought my computer new. I usually have to replace it about every year or so. This one I bought new last June before I left because I was having some troubles with my other computer and I just didn't want to deal with it. So I bought a brand new computer with the top of the line high-speed system on it and a lot of storage.
And you have to replace your computer once a year?
Not once a year, but about every 18 months to 2 years I replace the computer. It just wears out. I've just beat the heck out of it.
Yeah.
I do a lot of graphics and PowerPoints and webinars and a lot of writing. And so it pretty much wears out. So that's been my experience. I don't like it, but that's been my experience.
Again, Steve is the technical member of our team, but just a little bit that I know, the Droid is, why the difference between Windows and Droid for your phone?
The smartphones run applications that are variations on the Microsoft systems. So I mostly use Outlook and run Gmail. And that's how I communicate with people on email a lot. And I run that on my smartphone. I don't do things like PowerPoint or Word or Excel on my smartphone. Although I can open, it takes a while, but I can open documents if I absolutely have to. Ideally, if I have to open a document or do any writing, I do it on my computer. I do it on my computer without power while we're running because Kermit doesn't like to run the generator while the boat's running if we can avoid it.
Uh-huh.
So I work for about 2.5 hours on my computer, usually in the morning, writing or answering email, and then my power runs out. I'll either stop for the day or I'll plug in to the generator if it'll turn it on for me.
Okay, great. Very interesting. For the average cruiser, people that need to stay in touch, they need their smartphones, or they need a sophisticated phone, they need a computer. What would you recommend? I mean, I know the average people wouldn't need the high-powered equipment that you use.
Believe it or not, I am not a highly technical person. Before we left on the trip, I did a lot of research and talked to a lot of people so that I could set up the right equipment for my purposes while we were traveling. Now, my husband, he doesn't like to text or anything, so he's got a very simple phone. The people that our friends that we've met on this trip, especially the ones who do blogs, that's where the loopers are going to need some power. Uploading the pictures off your camera and then inserting them into your blog takes a lot of power. It takes a long time, too, and it takes a good Internet connection. That's where most people that I know, that's where the equipment comes in. So if you're not running a business, what you're going to need is enough equipment and enough power to be able to upload your photographs. And enough patience because it takes a long time.
I will tell you the number of members who are hosting blogs is tremendously increasing. You see it in the discussion forum. The postings are continually talking about the blog. So enough equipment and power to actually keep your blogs up to date is important. Connection with the Internet. Have there been spots where you have not been able to connect at all?
Yes, there have been spots. There are spots along the river system. That's kind of the obvious place. There are spots along the river system where between marinas you don't really get much power. In the river system, the intercoastal waterway system, there are also spots where you don't get power. You don't get a connection. But actually, I think that most places you can go, most marinas offer a wireless service, and it's usually very good. Believe it or not, some of the best service we had was in the Abacos. We spent 6 weeks in the Abacos, and for $99, I got a 4 weeks worth of internet connection, wireless, and it was some of the best service I ever had. So,
really? That's interesting, because we've heard a lot of people say that it's almost impossible to communicate.
They probably didn't purchase the service, the package. And I know friends that we were traveling with in the Abacos who did not purchase the package, and or if they anchored out a lot in out of the way places, they couldn't get access to it. But we were in Treasure Key for most of the time, and in the town and in Treasure Key, we had perfect service. It was wonderful. So it depends on.
What about Canada? Did you have problems while you were in Canada?
We haven't been in Canada yet because we started in Ohio.
Totally, that was stupid of me. You're actually in North Carolina, so you have yet to hit Canada. Are you going to make any special arrangements for connectivity when you're in Canada? I know some of the service plans have to be changed.
Yes, we will make. There's two answers to that question. Yes, we will have to purchase a new plan. We'll probably purchase a plan sort of like what we did when we went to the Abacos, a totally separate plan. And when we went to the Abacos, we did not use our Verizon phones or our hotspots. So we totally used only Bahamas service. That's what we'll do when we go to Canada. The other part of the question is we're not sure we're going to have time to go to Canada this year. We think that we're just going to have to go to Albany, turn left, and run home on the Erie Canal. Because we're running out of time. Because we're only in North Carolina. And if we're going to really do the Canadian portion of it, most of those loopers are on their way there right now.
Most of the loopers are a little bit north of you, but they don't have a timeline to get back. Most of the times they'll spend all of June and July cruising in Canada and hit the Great Lakes, you know, in August sometime.
Yeah, see, if we were going to do Canada, then we should be there or almost there already. I thought that we should have been in New York City for the 4th of July at the absolute latest if we were going to do the Canadian portion. So there's just no way. So we probably won't have that problem this year because we probably won't get to Canada this year. We'll have to do it next summer from our home base in Sandusky, Ohio. But if we were, we would buy a whole separate plan just like we did when we went to the Abacos and not deal with our Verizon service at all. It's just too expensive.
Yeah, I know a lot of our cruises that are on a budget have a difficult time in Canada because these service plans are very, very expensive.
Right.
Your normal cruising day, does your working affect how long you cruise, or it's basically you would take the same schedule whether you're working or not?
That's a really good question. So, If we're cruising and I don't have any clients, then there is no impact on our regular cruising day. We usually leave. We're traveling with One September and Tim's Joy and Sariana and a few other boats on and off. And usually we leave around 7 or 8 o'clock and we travel 40 to 60 miles in a day, and then we stop and then we explore the town that we've arrived in. So I try to, if I have clients, I try to have them when I know we're cruising so that I don't interrupt our ability to tour the town. I also write a lot in the mornings when my husband's asleep or when we're cruising. So if I have to deal with a client that at another time, when I know that our friends are going to want to do something else, or if I have especially a video conference, I make sure that we're in a place where the video conference where I can attend to that, and our friends allow for me to stop and do some business. Most of my clients require a 1 hour commitment, and we can always work around a 1 hour commitment. So I'll say I have a conference call or a client at 3 o'clock. I have to deal with it, and so I'll disappear from 3 to 4 and come back, and nobody it doesn't impact anyone else. So that's how our That's how we fit the cruising around my business.
So you will actually do client meetings while you're underway?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, it's better. If I'm confident that if I can handle it on the telephone, I absolutely will, because then I don't impact anyone else. So I might miss a little bit of the scenery that we're seeing, but nobody else will be delayed once we arrive in a port and want to explore.
That's fantastic. And how does Kermit handle all of this? Is he pretty flexible as to the needs of your business?
Well, he's just been absolutely wonderful, totally a dream, and very cooperative and supportive. And he's not standing here with a 2x4 forcing me to say that either. So I don't have to say that. I'm a bit younger than Kermit is, and Kermit and I together are a bit younger than most of the loopers that we're meeting. And so I knew that I needed to balance my desire to run a business, my own business, after we arrive back, you know, so you can't just stop working on your business. You either have to have a business or you don't have a business. So we had to find a balance. And I set goals of what I wanted to accomplish that are less than if I were at home, but more than nothing. And that's how we've been doing it. So he has been completely supportive of this plan.
So you've been flexible, too, with your expectations of what you could accomplish and what you couldn't.
Yes, I have a business partner, Dan, and Dan is physically located in our hometown in Canton, Ohio. And Dan, we had a long talk before I left, and I said, this is what I'm going to do. And so we divided up the work also. So I do 95% of the writing. I've written 3 books while we've been on this trip, and I'm figuring out right now in the state of publishing them. So I write the blogs. I write a twice weekly blog for our business, and I write a monthly newsletter. So I do that, and I deal with 75% of the clients. So those are the things that I can do on the boat. And Dan, he handles speaking engagements and the networking and clients that have to be in person. So we divided up our work that way as well. So it sounds like
you've got a wonderful business partner who's very understanding, mm-hmm. too. That's fantastic.
Yes, it works out well.
Great. You are obviously out of the ordinary as far as your needs go while you're cruising and connectivity and power and internet. Could you give us a little bit of your thoughts on what the average cruiser should make sure they have on board to stay connected? Let's say the average cruiser who also has a blog. What would you recommend as equipment or power or speed or whatever?
I think that the best service for cruising the Great Loop is through Verizon.
So I recommend
Verizon. I recommend a smartphone that can do texting. Some people can upload pictures right to Facebook or right to their. I can upload pictures right to my blog or right to Facebook if I want to. And I think that that's the kind of phone that I recommend. From my point of view, I also recommend some sort of a hotspot. We use the Verizon 4G hotspot because it makes sense for our business. You can't depend on having a reliable internet service at every port that will allow you to upload your blog, so upload your pictures and upload your blog. So you need a secondary source, even if you plan on using the local service. And then those are the big things. A lot of people have a Rogue Wave, which is a supplemental internet booster. We have one, but we don't use it because it has to be plugged into a generator, and it has to be plugged in when you use it. And we don't we choose not to run our generator while we run. But a lot of people like those boosters, and they work really well for a lot of people. So if you're running, that's a good thing. You know, Janice, there's a really interesting question that we had before we left. We couldn't possibly imagine how we would do without television and movies and all those things. And I honestly spent a fair bit of time researching that before we left, only to realize, you know, we've been traveling since last July, and we have watched maybe one movie.
Really?
We don't watch movies. We occasionally watch television, although since my husband and Kermit and I have different political views, we didn't watch television until after the election at all.
So you know, I know you're an avid reader of the discussion forum, but there's been some chatter about the need for television and what kind of television. It's interesting that you haven't really used your TV, but then again, you're extremely busy with keeping your blogs and writing, so again, you're not the average cruiser. But you can live without TV on the loop, I imagine.
Absolutely, we totally do. We're traveling with other boats, Jim's Joy and One September, and they don't and Sariana. Those folks, some of them live on their boats full time, and they have satellite television systems that work really well for them. But we don't. We have a little plug that we plug into a cable box. like we did today here at Baldhead, we plugged into a cable box and we can watch TV. We have a lovely 32-inch flat screen Sony, and that works really well. And we have one in our bedroom too. So occasionally we'll watch TV, but we hardly ever do, and we hardly ever watch movies. So that you can't. There really is not enough power in 10 gigabytes of a hotspot to watch television and do anything else. So you can't watch movies. A movie is like 5 gigabytes. It's just, you can't download movies on that kind of system.
I just eat it up. We have a satellite system on our boat. Steve, what equipment do we use?
We just use DirecTV.
Okay.
And an old dish that I just go up and manually point in about 30 seconds and it works fine.
Yeah, that's what, you know, people, that's what I've heard people do. That's what a couple of friends that we have do. One person has a big fancy satellite system, but they live on their boat permanently, and so it's kind of a different kind of investment. But don't think that you can download movies with the system, the equipment that I've been talking about. You can't. So you'd go broke. It's just ridiculous. I don't want to tell you how much I spend just doing what I do, much less movies. Movies aren't going to happen. So
that's what I was going to go to next, Catherine. You led it into it fantastically. I won't ask you what you spend because that's a very personal question, and you obviously are running a business. But I don't know if you have enough information, and maybe Steve can help us. What should the average looper budget for their ability to stay connected with the world, let's say per month while they're on the loop?
Well, your regular phone, you're going to use your regular phone probably with your regular service. You might need a few extra gigabytes on your regular service, a few extra minutes on your regular service for your phone because you're going to be so plan that. And I don't mind sharing what our costs have been. We spend, between Kermit's phone and my phone, we spend upwards of $200 a month. It's a very big deal. It's a big expense for us.
Yeah,
and now the hotspot is $10 per gigabyte per month. That's just the flat standard Verizon cost. So, and whether it's unlimited or not, you're still paying $10 per gigabyte. So you can have unlimited gigabytes, but you're paying $10 a month per gigabyte. So if I use 20, then I'm spending $200 a month on the hotspot. I generally use a bottle. I generally average about 11 per month, and that's when I can leverage my hotspot with local wireless so I don't have to use my hotspot all the time.
Constantly, right? Well, thank you for that. I know $200 a month sounds like a lot of money to be able to cruise and do the loop while you're working. I'd spend it in a minute if we could do it. So it's just, it's a matter of how important it is for you to be able to work and still enjoy a lifestyle that works for you. So it's fantastic that you've been able to work it out.
Yeah.
You know, the comment that I have is, depending on how you want to do it, if you don't need the Verizon or AT&T hotspot and you're willing to live with Wi-Fi, then it costs a lot less. And it's not as good, but for folks that are on a stringent budget, there are fairly inexpensive ways to do it. Sometimes they're not good, but they work.
Again, it depends on the critical need to have a good connection or just be able to. If you just want to call your friends and tell them where you are, it's not that critical. If you're running a business, obviously it is.
Right.
Steve and I have several times worked while we were on the boat, and as far as customer service, in our philosophy, it's critical. So we need a good connection. Catherine, this has been fascinating for me. I just hope our members are enjoying it. Steve, do you have any other questions or comments?
Well, the comments that I had as Catherine was talking is the history of communications on a boat is fascinating. And that is, if you went back 15 years, you couldn't do anything. I mean, it was like a payphone that you'd have to go find. Or if you want to use the internet, you went found a local library and hoped. And over the years, every year it's gotten a little better to where now you go out on the boat and expect to have decent service. And if you take it 5 years down the road, it's going to be like living at home when you're on the boat.
Yeah, good point. I remember the first time we cruised up to North Carolina, I think Verizon was Sprint at that point, and there was no service in North Carolina at all. So the world is changing, thank goodness.
Well, none of the marinas had Wi-Fi. You might find an internet cafe in the town if you were going good. And now you go, almost every marina has Wi-Fi. And if you go to a hotel, they have Wi-Fi. And just a whole different world.
We almost assume whenever we go to a marina that they're going to have Wi-Fi. And even in places that were relatively isolated down the Pentagon, the marinas had Wi-Fi.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, and some of the
marinas
lied, too.
I think the marinas are sophisticated enough now that they know it's a need. They, the cruisers want to stay connected. It's no longer a luxury. It's something that they basically have to offer to the cruisers coming in.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And this is the way that we keep in touch with our friends too. So you really have to have that connection, and the marinas do have the connection. They do. It's great.
Well, we are just about out of time. Catherine, are there any closing remarks you'd like to make, or anything that you'd like to give our loopers information before we close off?
Well, I just want to say that we shouldn't let something like a business stop us. We shouldn't let anything stop our dream of doing what we want to do. There really isn't a technological reason to not do the loop. Just it's all possible if you want to figure out how to make it happen. And I'm having a wonderful time meeting great people. It's just marvelous.
Well, I think that's true of anything in life. If you want it, you can make it happen. Catherine, it's been great. Thank you so much. Steve, do you have any closing remarks?
Nope, I've said everything I'm going to say.
Okay, well, that's it for now. Catherine, again, thank you. Safe cruising. Say hello to the people at Bald Head Island. They're one of our sponsors. And everyone, safe cruising for the week. Until next week, goodbye.
Have you been to the lighthouse at Bald Head Island?
We're about to go climbing.
That is a wonderful sight from the top of it, if you can get up there.
They're listening to the radio. We're with One September and Jim's Joy today, and they're listening to the radio. But as soon as we're done, we're going to climb that baldy.
Well, safe climbing. Bye-bye.
Enjoy.
Thank you. Bye-bye.